When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Take a little time here before we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week to go through the Issues Etc. comment line. That's a comment line that we leave open for all of our listeners, but especially our beloved on-demand listeners. We know that you're listening all over the place and at different times. We've heard recently from our listeners talking about how they're far behind. They consider themselves kind of behind in their listening. Really, there's no such thing. And being behind in the listening, you got all the time of the world to listen to us, and sooner or later you will catch up. But when you're listening on demand and you feel like you're kind of behind, you still want to join the conversation. That is what the Issues Etc. comment line is all about. It's also for your show suggestions and your questions and other kinds of comments as well. 618-223-8382 is the number. 618-223-8382, the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's begin with Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights. I attempted to reach the program while Dr. Baker was on, but I have an additional arrow for Dr. Baker's quiver on the argument he was making. Truly, faith is a blessing. It's a blessing that we receive, as he points out, by Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the word of God. But there's another very interesting verse that supports exactly the same thing in the book of Revelation. I refer to Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Now, did you get that? You read it aloud because you had to hear it. It doesn't matter whether you hear it from someone else or you hear it from your own voice. The blessing is available both ways. So, therefore, Revelation 1:3 is a perfect adjunct to Romans 10:17. Thank you.
There is a lot of emphasis, and you're quite right, put on hearing God's word. Now, we don't want to become mechanical about this. We don't want to say that the only way the Holy Spirit communicates God's word via the Holy Scripture is when it is read aloud and then audibly heard. It can be read silently, and for those who don't have the ability to actually hear the way we hear, they can also be seen that way through sign language and other forms of communication. But we don't want to de-emphasize the fact that these words are written to be heard. They're written to be heard in two senses. That is, the public reading of Scripture, the reading aloud of Scripture, is one of the tasks given to the church through the pastoral office by the Apostle Paul. Until I come again, attend to the public reading of Holy Scripture. And he's talking there about a number of things all wrapped up into one thing. But at the very least, he's talking about the public reading of Scripture itself. So that's always been a part of the church's life. That is, the hearing of God's word. Christians have always taken that very seriously. This is why Christians don't go to church and all pull out their Bibles and just read silently to themselves. That would be contrary to God's intent for how his word is to be delivered to people. Now, the other sense of this, and I think this is very, very important, it goes beyond just whether or not you hear it or read it, has to do with Christ's own mandate to preach, that is, to proclaim the word, to go out and actually speak the word through Christian preaching of law and gospel. In a church today where people think that preaching is passé, oh, that's an older form of communication. It may have worked back in the 19th century as though that were so long ago. It may have worked with primitive people, but nowadays we need more sophisticated ways of actually communicating God's word. Christ has actually commanded the oral preaching of God's word. We have no alternative. There's no better way than the pastor opening his mouth and proclaiming law and gospel so that people hear. That's not an option for the church. It's actually Christ's way. Preaching is mandated by Christ. And a particular kind of preaching, the preaching of, as he says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. So when we go to church, we go to hear. Luther famously says that the church is not a penthouse, but a mouth house. It's a place where preachers open their mouths and speak, and people open their ears and hear. Up next, a comment about displaying abortion videos and images.
Hi, this is Fritz calling from St. Louis. And my comment is, if the Jews are permitted to show horrific pictures of human bodies from the Holocaust, wouldn't it be fair for us Christians to be allowed to show dismembered bodies of results of abortion and not be censored for that? Would appreciate it. Thank you.
You raise an interesting thought here, and that is, well, first of all, to the issue of censorship, there is a kind of soft censorship that takes place when you simply don't see them unless you happen to see them shared by a friend on social media. You don't see these images. They are not shown on television, are they? If they're shown on television, they're likely to be pixelated out or edited so that what is actually shown in the Planned Parenthood videos doesn't make it from the video to you as you watch television. Very rare is the case. They're hardly even referred to or described. Now, why is that? It's a very good question. Have you noticed that there hasn't been an outcry against showing these graphic images? There has been a quiet censorship of them. There has been almost a wholesale ignoring of them, acting like they don't exist, a media that is so hungry for images of every kind doesn't seem to be very anxious to get their hands on these or to show them to their viewers. But no one is complaining, oh, these images are too graphic. Why? Why is that? I mean, part of it is that they're not showing them to anybody. And part of it is that if you say these images are too graphic, too brutal, too bloody, too disgusting, it's not a very big step to saying that abortion is that too. Is it? Don't show me a picture of a baby that's been dismembered. Why not? You support it, don't you? I'm pro-choice. I think women ought to be able to have this abortion. But don't show it to me. Why not? Abortion is a constitutional right. It is a basic human right of women. What other basic human right don't you want to see? Don't you want to see what other basic human right would you turn your eyes away from? Would you refuse to watch? If it is as essential as freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom to assemble and all those things that we consider to be fundamental human rights, why wouldn't you want to look at it? Well, the answer is obvious. It shouldn't be a right of anyone, of the living, the born, to kill the unborn. It shouldn't be. So when someone says, and you got to be careful here, but when someone says, I refuse to look at those, and they are a proponent of abortion, ask them why. Is it too gruesome for you? What is abortion, this thing that you support, that you think is so vital to a woman's freedom and liberty? It's too gruesome for you? Really?
Hi there, one of your on-demand archive listeners. I listen to you regularly. Just finished listening to you talk with Pastor Paul McCain about Luther's Large Catechism, the Apostles' Creed, the second article. While he was talking, because I was at my computer, I actually called up in another window Luther's Small Catechism and was looking at it. And I would like you to talk to him when he gets to the Lord's Prayer, because I figure he's going through the whole thing. My specific question is, in the Lord's Prayer, Luther's explanation after what does this mean, Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? God would hereby tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true father and that we are his true children. And it goes on. But everything I've ever learned from issues, etc., God changes our will. That for us to think we can invite God into our hearts is either full-blown Pelagianism or semi-Pelagianism. This seems to be a huge contradiction. And I'm from an American evangelical background. I'm one of your refugees. Can you just please help me with this? Because if I'm asked this by anybody, I wouldn't know what to say to them. So I look forward to his answer. Love the show. Support the show. My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from Albany, New York. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Lisa, thanks for the comment. Thanks for listening in New York. It's a good question because Luther's is I love the way he puts it, that hereby God would tenderly invite, he would invite us, tenderly invite us to believe that we have a heavenly Father, that God is our Father, and that we can address him as such. Now, let's remember to whom Jesus gives this prayer. This prayer is not given to unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot pray this prayer. They cannot refer to God as Father. They can't, because we have God as Father only through his Son, only by faith through his Son. So they cannot address God as Father. Unbelievers can't. Jesus has given this prayer. We should call this the believer's prayer. It's the Lord's prayer, but it's also the believer's prayer in the sense that unbelievers have not been given this prayer. Now, believers are invited to believe more things. And as you're quite right, when faith is worked in the heart by the Holy Spirit through God's word, suddenly the mind, the will, the heart is changed. Sin remains, but a change, a real change has taken place where a Christian can believe things that before, as an unbeliever, he could not, because faith has been created, and faith is always invited to believe more. That's what clinging to the promises of God is all about. Faith is always invited to believe more. And here Jesus graciously gives us something more to believe. And that is, and he says, and by the gift of my Holy Spirit, guess what? You can believe it now. The difference here is between the believer and the unbeliever. And we've really lost this. It's a real shame. We have lost in the especially in kind of pop American Christianity, the clear distinction between believer and unbeliever. Kind of started with people talking about unbelievers as seekers. They might be a little bit like believers. No, they're not. Unbelievers are unbelievers. And then it kind of found its way into the way we talk about ourselves as Christians. I'm a Christ follower. No, you're actually a believer. The Bible uses the term believer, unbeliever. And so should we. And we should keep those categories very clear. And it helps clear up your question, because this prayer is not given to unbelievers to pray. They simply cannot pray it. They cannot address God as Father.
Hello, issues, etc. I suggest that since the pagans demand that marriage be only about sex and love, that we give them what they want. Let's turn the tables as a thought experiment, that any time sex is offered, that a marriage has occurred. Just imagine how quickly the nightclub life would dry up if every hookup, as the kids call it, would result in a marriage and subsequent divorce, etc. I understand this is just a suggestion and impractical, but certainly a teaching tool. Good day.
And I think a good one at that. In fact, I think you're building upon a basic principle that God understands the sexual union between man and woman to be marriage. Now, we don't want to abuse this, and we certainly don't want to go, yours is a thought experiment, and ought to remain a thought experiment. That's how God thinks about the sexual union between man and woman. And I think what you've pointed out here is the utter nonsense of the new definitions of marriage. If marriage is all about just love and sex, if that's all it is about, then why isn't love and sex marriage? If all marriage is how I feel about someone and whether I'm attracted to them and want to engage in some kind of sexual activity with them, if that's all marriage is, then why isn't sexual activity and attraction itself marriage? It should work both ways. But of course, as you've pointed out so wisely here, it doesn't. And there's a reason. The reason is marriage isn't just about who you love or who you're attracted to. It is about that in part, but it isn't just about that. And it is not essentially about that. It is about, well, for the Christian, it is certainly about the promises of God, but it is about, well, let's just be quite honest. It is about the end of marriage. The end of marriage in the ordinary course of human events is family and children. Now, family and children work great when there's love, and they ought to be there. But love does not a family make. Marriage makes a family. Oh, my goodness. Can't believe I just said that. But it's true. Marriage makes a family. There may be families of different definitions, but in the ordinary course of human events, it's not love that makes family. You can love whoever you want. It doesn't make them family. Family's made by the sexual union, by what we used to call blood, I think, related by blood and marriage. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with our listeners, you, our listeners, as we play four sound bites for you, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and then you need to give us a call and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MYIE. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.